tens of thousands of pounds. That's the cost to ratepayers for almost 100 attacks on Irish language signs in the Mid-Ulster Council area over the last 2 years. This story is in the Irish News today, the front page of the Irish News. In one case, CCTV was erected because one sign was targeted 12 times in recent months. Malachy O'Doherty is also with us. Good morning to you, Malachy.
Morning, Vinny. Morning, Tom.
You know, some people will be surprised to hear that, well, not surprised to hear that they're being defaced. Signs are defaced all the time, but surprised to hear that CCTV is being used to try and catch the people responsible, or indeed to deter them, protect them perhaps, Malachy?
Well, I suppose so, but I mean, £10,000 actually isn't a lot of money. The technology of CCTV now with the miniaturised cameras and internet connectivity is not that sophisticated. I do think that the important thing here is that you don't let vandals set the agenda, you know. We should be working towards some kind of accommodation in this place where two cultures or all cultures are at ease with each other. And you know, if you basically say that the solution is just to take down all the Irish language signs because yobs are attacking them, then you're letting the yobs set the agenda, and you're giving up on a project which might ultimately lead to accommodation between different cultures. That's my view.
And just in terms of the money, just reading in this article, as a Sinn Féin councillor, John McNamee, who sits on its environment committee, he has said the damage is costing tens of thousands of pounds to ratepayers. So whether it's £1, 10,000, tens of thousands of pounds, Tom Kelly, it's the people that live in that area that are paying for that.
Yeah, well, and that's the outrage in it. 99.9% of the people in Mid-Ulster probably do not give two fiddlers about the signs, but in English, Irish or Urdu. The signs themselves, I mean, people should be able to respect the signs in Irish language. They're in, my own road has Irish language signs, bilingual. But the bottom line is that, you know, there's no need to be attacking this. There's no threat that comes from having an Irish language sign in an area. And anybody who's doing this, I mean, as Malachy's saying there, I mean, are a group of vandals going out to do this to try to make a statement? Well, they're only making a statement really about themselves, that they're absolute numpties, and they would need to go and improve on their own ignorance, because there's nothing threatening in this. But it is a shame that ratepayers are picking up the bill for it.
But you know, some people will look at that and say, yes, I understand what you're saying about there's no harm in putting up dual language signs, but what there is an issue with someone making the decision to spend a lot of money, ratepayers' money, to try and protect those signs. A sign is a sign, and is that the best way to spend ratepayers' cash?
Well, basically, Vinny, what are you saying? You're saying that, you know, if the louts attack the signs, they set the agenda.
No, I'm not saying that's my opinion, but I'm just saying the decision. We see deface signs all the time.
It's costing the council tens of thousands of pounds.
Yeah, but someone is still making the decision to protect those signs using money. So ratepayers' money, it's costing money. Is that going to happen elsewhere when people are damaging signs for whatever reason?
Well, you have to protect council property, and if there is a systematic campaign of damaging council property, then you've got to catch these people. You don't let them set the agenda, as Malachy said there, and you do have to spend some money to protect them, and if they can catch them on CCTV, more is the better. Most ratepayers would rather see these people up before a court than to allow them to run around the country defacing signs.
And I get that point, but also there's only a certain amount of money. So if money is used to, and I'm not saying, it's not my opinion, I'm just simply asking the question, if money is used to pay, you know, for CCTV to protect a sign, it obviously then can't go elsewhere. And therefore there'll be somewhere else in your council area where you're not going to have that cash spent as a result.
But they're also pointing out, Vinny, that people are fly-tipping beside these signs. So they're putting rubbish where it shouldn't be as well.
Yeah.
They're going to have to catch these people. You know, you don't let people set the agenda, and there's a real danger here. And I can understand people who find, you know, the signs which are for Derry, Londonderry defaced or whatever, or the ones that come in, welcome to Northern Ireland, with the Northern Ireland struck out. People just need to show better respect towards signs. Signs don't attack anyone. And the very fact,
I think we are overlooking something a wee bit here. We are overlooking the fact that there is a huge sensitivity around names and symbols and languages in Northern Ireland, the place I'm quite content to call Northern Ireland. And that sensitivity has to be eroded. We need to move from this sensitivity to a time where people are completely relaxed. Now, in terms of the Irish language or the use of terminology or symbols, there will always be people who will kind of push the envelope, wind things up a bit, be provocative, and there will always be people as well who are easily needled, who are very eager to be needled. And we've seen that not just over Irish language, we've seen it over Orange Parades, we've seen it over Ulster Scots, we've seen it, over everything, royal visits even. So what kind of Ulster do you want, is what Terence O'Neill once said. And the kind of Ulster I want, is, or Northern Ireland that I want, is one in which neighbours are at peace with each other.
Yeah.
The symbols and cultural expression of my neighbours don't annoy me, and those of me do not annoy my neighbours.
And I'm not sure, like, rainbows in the sky and unicorns as well, there will be people that say, like, how long will it take to get there? Is that ever going to happen in our lifetime? Also, you know, in terms of money and what we do, an Irish Language Act is something that could come down the road. And if it did, there could be dual language signs across Northern Ireland. So how much money would it cost to protect those with the likes of CCTV, Tom Kelly?
I think we have got to work, as Malaga says, towards a society where we can tolerate all of these signs. The laugh in this case is the place is called Gulladuff Hill. It's already a bloody Irish derivative name in the first place. So the whole notion of moving towards a society that respects each other's cultures, that allows to live and let live, if we have to protect that for a while to make sure that others don't get disrupting it, then we do it and we spend money on doing it. It doesn't mean that you walk away from cultural diversity, respect and pluralism just because there's a group of people out there who want to destroy it.
030 30 80 55 55. George, good morning to you.
Morning, Sonny. How you doing?
I'm all right. Go ahead.
Yeah, just before you make my point, was it Tom that was commentating in North Down there a while ago?
He was, yes. He came on towards the end of that
Tom,
discussion.
Just before you went on your anti-DUP rant in North Down, no, let's not forget that the DUP brought the confidence of supply deal, £1 billion from Westminster, and their attendance record is there for all to see. So I'm sure it's as high, if not the same, as the East of the Hermit. So, you know, let's put that...
Well, let's let Tom respond to that, George. Tom.
It'd be very easy to respond. I mean, much more millions have been taken out of the health service by the Tory government, which the DUP support. So the money that we got was a drop in the ocean. It's welcome. Any money that comes into Northern Ireland is welcome. But we're chronically underfunded, and the
let's
government...
Let's not forget
about
supported as well, Tom, but you failed to mention that. But sure, that's sure. We'll see where we are there. We'll see who's in power anyway after the election. But get back to my point, you know, these signs, certainly wouldn't be me damaging street signs, going out of my way to damage street signs, and I would call on anybody not to do it. But then he mentioned an Irish Language Act, and we're told that if an Irish Language Act came in, these signs or any signs would only be erected in areas where the host community wanted them. So I'm just wondering how many of these signs are in an area where the host community want them and feel they're needed, you know. And also,
before
highlighting this, you know, feel to mention that for the past 20 years or more, signs going to Londonderry, you know, you'll see the London scribbled out, and every time we see this Brexit thing in the border, you'll look and you'll see it's welcome to Ireland, the Northern Ireland parchment scribbled out. So what's it taking to fix them?
George, it only takes some youngster to do a thing like that. And on the back of some youngster doing a thing like that, we end up with a huge political row and a big discussion on the Nolan Show. So if I was a kid, you know, who wanted to get onto the Nolan Show, what would I do? I would do something as simple and elementary as that, and then the whole thing flares up and we're into a big row. I mean...
I agree with you, Malachy. Okay,
just let's let Malachy respond.
So let's just get it into proportion. You know, it's not, you know, we are looking at these things very often as if they are indicative of huge cultural expressions or political movements, or they are signifiers of the great underlying tensions and animosities within our society. And very often they're not. You know, somebody walking home drunk sees the sign to Londonderry and scores out to London, you know, and suddenly that's going to be discussed on radio. That's going to be on the front pages of the newspapers. You know, that is giving too much influence to people of no significance at all.
But you mentioned yourself, Malachy, that things like names and language in Northern Ireland are very sensitive issues. So who are you to tell people they shouldn't be upset by that?
Well, he was shooting with vandalising them. You know what I mean? But my point here is, sorry for cutting across you, Malachy, my point here is, yet again, the Irish News running with a front page story like this that gives a thought to the world, you know, that it's unionists here and it's all anti-Irish, you know, with the fact that I have yet to see them running a story about the signs that I've mentioned on their front page.
Just another quote from the Irish News, from this article. UUP councillor Trevor Wilson, he last night said it's important to attend the meeting to find out exactly the extent of the whole district. This is the meeting referring to these cameras. He raised concerns about other signs being targeted, including road signs bearing the name Londonderry, and claimed that Irish language signs have been put up on council-owned facilities in mainly unionist areas. He says, I do condemn all acts of vandalism, but to put dual language signs in Protestant areas where signs were never erected before, even in English, is antagonising at the least, he says, Tom Kelly.
Well, I would have to agree with him on that. I mean, I think that if you're putting signs up in Ulster Scots or Irish, it should be with the consent of the people who live there. And if there's a demand for it, a lot of the councils have bilingual policies or trilingual policies and they implement them and no one takes offence at them. But they should be put up with the consent of them. I would agree with the unionist councillor who said that. But the main thing is that you should not be getting upset about these signs, and you certainly shouldn't be damaging these signs, because the person
why can we tell someone, given how sensitive the things like Irish language or language in general in Northern Ireland names are, why can we find it okay to tell people that it's okay, you know, you shouldn't be upset by them? I get that we should not be encouraging anyone to vandalise, but aside from people being upset, feeling passionate about something like that.
Well, I think there's an educational thing that could come in here. Tom mentioned Gulladuff as an Irish word. So is Shankill. So is Bellamina. You know, these are the you know, if there's a real cultural objection to the Irish language within Protestants and Unionists in Tyrone, then let them reflect on their own past. That the planters who came from Scotland spoke Gaelic. You know, it's their language. Now, all right, they do know, and we all know, that there are people who will do their best to wind up situations and provoke. And so they're maybe more sensitized to that than they should be. But the way in which Linda Anderson Irvine has responded to this in East Belfast is a far more creative and constructive way. And it is to say, actually, you don't own that language. You know?
Yes, Linda was on this programme.
My face, it has no effect on me.
Linda was on this very programme saying that just last week. Let's go to Albert next. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Vinny.
Go ahead.
Well, Vinny, I have another take on it. You know, if you look at, you're saying about costing the ratepayers money.
Yes.
I wouldn't say the vast majority. Everybody in Northern Ireland, their first language is English. And why do we need?
I don't know if that's completely true. I would grant you that there's probably a smaller proportion that maybe their first language is Irish. But well, I don't know if everyone's first language is English.
I would say in the Republic. Yes, there is people that would speak Irish as their first language. And even if you look at the visitors that come up from the Republic, they all speak English.
What's your point?
So why? My point is, you're spending the money in the first place to put these signs up. And like Tom Kelly talks about austerity, there's an instance where the money is spent basically where it could have been put into the health service or to education or somewhere like that. Because, as I say, the people that travel through Northern Ireland, the majority of them all speak English. I'm not talking about Polish or Lithuanians or whatever, but that Irish is no good to them. So why do we spend the money? And Tom Kelly said about Ulster Scots signs, I believe that Ulster Scots signs shouldn't go up. Because
so you think all road signs in Northern Ireland should be English? No Irish, no Ulster Scots?
Yeah, you know, you're speaking to me in English.
Yes.
Not speaking to me in Irish. You know, why? And it's like George said about, you know, if you go to Toombridge or the Glen Shane Pass and basically you see the signs vandalised that way, that costs the ratepayers money. But they never change them.
What do you say then, Albert, to people that will say, look, Irish is the indigenous language of this land and they want to see it flourish and encourage other people to speak it?
No, nobody is stopping anybody to learn Irish or to speak Irish if they want. But what I'm trying to say is that 98% of the people in Northern Ireland, their first language that they use day and daily is English.
Well, you're 98. You've gone from 100% to 98%.
Pardon?
Okay. Albert, thank you.
Is
the people that come from Southern Ireland to visit here, They all speak English.
Yes,
you... It's their first language, okay. The majority of them anyway.
Okay, Albert, thank you. Tom Kelly.
Well, if there's a priority on spending, would I spend money on signage as opposed to the health service or education? No, I wouldn't. But the reality is that we have two cultural identities in Northern Ireland. They both need to be respected. The signs in the Republic of Ireland, near where I live, are in both Irish and English. Those borders, we have free movement of people north and south. We need to reflect the culture of the island of Ireland on the island of Ireland. And if people want to reflect the culture of Ulster Scots on the island of Ireland, that should be respected too. And I think that's where we need to be moving to. I mean, I do know that at one stage a few years ago when Ulster Scots signs were put up somewhere near Newton Arch, they were taken down because people thought they were Irish.
OK, let's go to Robert Kelly next. Good morning, Robert.
Morning.
You live in the Mid-Ulster area. You're
right,
a former councillor, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Which party?
The Ulster Unionist Party.
OK, what's your take on this?
Well, the situation sort of on the ground, after the report that has came out today in the newsletter,
Irish News?
No, the newsletter, as in the PSNI, has said there's no change in the PIRA structures.
Yes, that's a totally different story, but that's in the front of the newsletter this morning.
This goes right back to the signage and all the rest of it, that the Irish language is being used as a stick to beat the unionist community. And at the end of the day, Mid-Ulster Council have been completely controlled by Sinn Féin. So is the IRA Army Council putting this strategy forward as a stick to beat the unionist community within Mid-Ulster? And
that's how it hurts.
And of course, let's not forget as well, Robert, that Sinn Féin and the councillors in that chamber are voted for by the people that live in that area. So they're put in that position by the electorate.
I'm not disputing that. But the fact is that, you know, these signs are going up willy-nilly. They're saying that the signs are only being put up in areas where they're requested. But whenever you look into it, these signs have been put up at the request of maybe one person, and it has been proven that the letters requesting these are coming from one particular person. Like if you saw the requests, the requests are written in the same handwriting.
Okay, well, look, just to read out something, you refer to that article at the front of the newsletter today. PSNI saying there's no change since 2015. This is the PIRA assessment. There's a Sinn Féin statement in this article. It says Sinn Féin MP Mickey Brady said the IRA is gone and not coming back. The focus of unionist politicians should be on bringing an end to the extortion, drug dealing, widespread intimidation and murders carried out by active loyalist paramilitary groups. Instead of cozying up to these groups for electoral PACs, they should unequivocally condemn these threats and call for these groups to be disbanded immediately. Let's go to John in South Belfast next. Good morning, John.
Hello, Vinny. Vinny, recently I've been doing some outreach to some of the Irish speakers, basically in and around Belfast. Now, I come from a unionist, Protestant, loyalist side of the divide.
Okay.
Now, I'm working along with a guy called Kieran O'Quigley. He's a professor of the Gaelic language from Dublin. And would you believe that Kieran actually thinks that why would you force your language upon anybody? Why would you push your language into places where it's really not welcome? Now, let me explain to you why it's not welcome. Shane Welsh recently on BBC Radio Talkback, he had spoke about using words like that we're going to green Northern Ireland street by street using the Irish language. Now, when you have people coming out with statements like that, can you not see why there would be contentions in particular areas?
Well, in terms of the person you referenced there and your stance on what he believes, he's not here to tell us himself, it's you.
Well, I can tell you that basically, as I say, now I'm just not speaking to Kieran. I mean, I spent some time at the Gaeltacht up in Shaw's Road. I spent some time in Cultural Land. I spent some time at the bottom of the Falls Road in the Irish radio station. And we're really trying to present an argument in a way that, as I say, why would you force that language into areas where it's not welcome? Now, I heard some of your contributors saying that, you know, you've got English signs. Well, you see, English, it's nothing to do with English versus Irish. You see, English is a universal language, and English is the language of other people world over, like people in Canada, people in America. And English, if you look at the what the experts say, they say that it belongs to absolutely everybody. So we actually see that forcing of Irish signs into areas where it's not wanted would be it would be demonstrating.
If you say there's an area where we can put an Irish language sign and there's one where we won't, then you're making a sectarian demarcation. You're marking out ghetto areas and you're saying this is Unionist and Protestant.
Let Malachy finish his point, John. We're just tight for time. So let's let Malachy finish and I'll bring you back in before the news.
That's what you're doing. I mean, I understand that some of the people are sensitive about the Irish language, and I think the solution for them, I mean, the very idea that people in a town called Gulladuff, you know, are object to the Irish language. But essentially, your plan, I understand you're trying to do the right thing and you're trying to be accommodating of another tradition and you're trying to draw boundaries and limits. But if you end up, you'll end up with a Northern Ireland, which is like the map they used to have in police stations with the orange patches and the green patches.
Okay, John, you want back in there, okay. But just very quickly, because we're coming up to the news.
Okay, well, you talk about ghettoisation. Let me just tell you what a language can do. In 2017, the French-speaking French-speaking teachers in Cameroon were forced into the Anglophone English side. Now, if you do your history in Cameroon, what you'll find is that has developed into a bloody civil war, which has lasted until today. We are a divided society, and in a divided society, should we really be forcing things that people are not wanting in their areas? In the future, if this is done right, if we get this right, well, maybe people will then accept Irish language. But the way that it's being done, it'll cause huge contention.
In your opinion. John, thank you very much. Malachy O'Doherty and Tom Kelly, thank you as well.